Hi, and welcome to the Passionistas Project podcast. We're Amy and Nancy Harrington. If you enjoy listening to the show, please consider becoming a patron. Just a small donation of $1 a month can help us keep the project going, and you'll get rewards like buttons, access to premium content, and invites to Passionistas Project events. Today, we're talking to Elise Dharma, founder of the international marketing agency Canopy and full-time traveling entrepreneur. Elise offers online courses and one-on-one coaching to other aspiring Instagram influencers and travelpreneurs who seek freedom from their 9-to-5 jobs. So please welcome to the show, Elise Dharma.
Thank you so much for having me.
What is the one thing you're most passionate about?
The easy answer, go-to answer is travel. And I would say that's probably the surface level passion. The deeper passion below why I love to travel so much is the sense of freedom that I get from it. Essentially, freedom is my ultimate goal. And the way I feel that is through travel.
So how did you build your business around that concept?
I think a lot of it started from my childhood, actually, because I was raised in a very conservative religious household. And I didn't know it then, but I didn't really feel free because so much of that upbringing was based on me, you know, obeying the norms that I had been taught, right? And so when I started thinking for myself a little bit more as a teenager, at 18 years old, I allowed myself to think, well, maybe everything that I've been taught actually isn't true. And that was a huge mental, spiritual, internal step to take, to consider that perhaps everything that I thought to be true actually wasn't true. And that opened up a whole world of possibility and self-reflection. This was in my grade 12 year. It opened me up to talking about it with my friends. I never told them about the religion that I was a part of. And it led to me verbally telling them what I was supposed to believe. And even just by saying it to some of my friends, I could feel it inside me that I didn't actually believe it. So it was an eye-opening year. And to end my grade 12 year, I went traveling. I went on a 30-day Kentucky trip around Europe, but it was my first time heading somewhere on my own. And with this new openness to considering the world in a different way. I was raised to believe it, to look and be one way. And I went to Europe thinking, you know, maybe people aren't evil if they're drinking alcohol, for example. And I started drinking alcohol. I started trying it and seeing it wasn't actually all that bad or what I thought it was going to be. So that trip was the next level of me just being broken open and the freedom that I felt, the sense of joy that I felt for those 30 days was indescribable. It was addicting. It became my new obsession after that, which when you're 18, you know, I was off to college that following fall, and I chose to go to a school in Utah. I was raised Mormon, so I went to the Mormon University, Brigham Young. And so that was quite a dichotomy to go from, is this for me, to traveling, to be like, oh my God, this is so cool, to going back to the religion that I'd been raised in. And I just felt like a totally different person. It was like I couldn't go back to it anymore. And that put me on just such a tailspin throughout my 20s of trying to figure out what was for me. And I tried a lot of things. I tried 3 different universities. I did finally finish my degree, but I tried different programs many times. I tried different careers. I took a break from university after 2 years. I got a job on a cruise ship because I was constantly chasing that feeling of being free while traveling. I then met a guy and I wanted to move across the country, but I didn't have any money. So I got my real estate license so I could start working in my parents' business and start earning money without a degree. So I tried real estate. I tried broadcast journalism. That's what I ultimately ended up studying. I worked in digital media. I worked in traditional media on a morning show in Toronto, a radio morning show. And yeah, my 20s were quite a journey, but I would say the first half were trying a lot of things and seeing what I didn't like. And then even though I wasn't really sure, I was just making micro decisions step by step that ultimately led me to starting my own business as a freelancer. And this was while I was in my day job still, after I graduated school, because I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I had that in me. I was a piano teacher from the time that I was 13 years old, so I always treated that as my business as a teen. So starting my own business became a natural step to find that freedom again in my life, where it wasn't just travel. And within 9 months, I quit my job. I had a full roster of clients, and then that's what I've been doing since 2014.
Tell us a little bit about the marketing business and how you started that.
I was studying like screenwriting and media and film, so I was kind of in this creative space. While I was finishing my degree, I got a job as a social media marketer. This was in 2010, where it wasn't that common to be a social media marketer. And my job was to market this tech incubator that was run by the university that I was going to. So the tech incubator was designed to attract tech startups to grow their businesses. So I placed myself in an entrepreneurial environment. And while I was in that workspace, I was growing the social media channels for this incubator. I just learned by trial and error. There were no social media training courses then, and if there were, I had no idea. So I was mostly focused on Facebook and Twitter. And by being in that environment, the startups around me began to see me as the social media person. So they would come to me if they ever had questions. And that's ultimately how I got my very first client. A friend of mine reached out and said, "Hey, I'm looking to hire a marketing rock star for my startup. Do you know of anyone?" And I sheepishly put my name forward because I had read The 4-Hour Workweek and I was trying to figure out how to make my own business happen. I didn't do anything for about a year. I didn't know what to do. And when my friend asked me for the recommendation, I thought, I am going to tell him that I'm looking to work with startups. I'm looking to take on some freelance contracts. And that's how I got my first client. Within a week, we had a contract, and he built an e-commerce brand, so Instagram became a big focus. I hadn't done much on it at all, but I knew, you know, e-commerce is so visual, Instagram is the perfect match. And this was 2013. Instagram at that time was the wild, wild west. There wasn't much going on. Businesses were not caring about it in the way they do now. And so we grew very quickly. We hit 100,000 followers within 6 months. And a big focus was influencer marketing. That was a big part of my job, was sending free product to teens and young adults to have them model the products and share it with their audience. So that was how I grew that account so quickly. And it was really just learning by trial and error. And word of mouth spread, more people recommended their e-commerce contacts to me, and I just became like, you know, the e-commerce content marketing person. So that led to me quitting my job so that I could take on all the clients that were coming my way, which is not a bad problem to have. It was still a huge major life shift to quit, leave the comfort of my coworkers, leave the comfort of my salary, my benefits, get used to working on my own, get used to working from home. And within a month, I went through a very bad breakup right after quitting. So it just felt like one life change after another. And it stalled me. That breakup was just completely devastating. I don't think I really left my house much for that month. And my thought process changed to, it was, how do I grow this business to, how do I not lose clients? Like, how do I do the work I need to do just to get through this period? And a friend of mine said, well, why don't you go traveling? You have this business that you can now do wherever. Why don't you get away from here? And that was what I did. Within a month of the breakup happening, I was on a plane to Australia. I spent a month there because I have family there. So it was a nice, like, family and travel experience. And then I went to Bali. January 1st, 2015, it was my Eat, Pray, Love. And it was also a dream come true because I had been looking at Bali, you know, on my screensaver, on my computer for the past 2 years as an employee. So to land there the first day of 2015 while going through so much internal personal turmoil. It was a pretty special moment, you know, emotional in many different ways. And I spent 2 weeks there on my own, just taking in Ubud, such a cool, magical place. And then I went to Hawaii. It really was an Eat, Pray, Love. Australia, Bali, Hawaii. Spent more time with family. And it was a really healing experience, as much as I needed it. There are seasons in our lives, and that just happened to be a season where my brand new business wasn't my focus. My personal internal self was my focus for a good year. And my business was just there, still running, but just more so on the back burner. So it took a good while to recover from that. And that's why it took me a year to establish an agency. I established my agency, Canopy, a year after I quit my job. And then I just rode that wave for another year. I just continued to work and travel and do my thing. And it wasn't until the summer of 2016 where I thought, well, this is cool. I like the location independence, but what's next? You know, I'm a little bit bored. I'm making the same amount of money every year. How do I grow this business? How do I get to the next level? And that's where I thought, you know what? I need more clients. So I'm going to grow my own personal Instagram account as proof to future clients that I can do this for them. So that summer, I invested in growing a personal brand, which I hadn't done up until that point. I was just my agency brand. I was kind of hiding behind that. So I decided to grow my personal brand on Instagram. And what ended up happening is where I'm at right now. A whole other business sprouted. A whole new audience of people started following me and caring about what I was saying. They didn't want e-commerce content marketing services. They wanted to know, how was I traveling so much? How was I growing on Instagram? How did I create and run my own business? So that's when the light bulb went off and I realized I needed help. I didn't know what to do with this new wave. And that's when I thought about hiring someone who's been here, done that. That's when I realized you could hire a business coach. So I hired my very first business coach, and she helped me navigate those waters of what to do with this newfound interest. And yeah, that really was the catalyst for me to start teaching online, doing webinars, creating a free Facebook group, connecting with the people in that group, understanding what they wanted. They wanted Instagram growth. That helped me create and launch my very first course, which is now Insta Growth Boss. And yeah, it's just put me on this major wave of online marketing, online business. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
What do you feel are the keys to building a brand that's based on you rather than based on a product?
So to give you a little context, I'm not a huge camera person. I'm not the type of person who's going to jump in front of the camera, love the attention, love to be the center of the room. I'm not like that at all. In fact, when I worked at the morning radio show in Toronto, I was an intern, and one morning they put me on air to get my intern perspective. And this is the number one most listened to show in Canada. So I get on air and I just freeze up because all of a sudden I'm thinking about millions of people listening to me right now and sounding stupid in front of everyone. And I got so nervous. My heart, it just leapt up into my throat, kind of like it was pounding in my throat. I could barely talk. And after that experience, I was just like, what the heck just happened? I studied broadcast journalism in school. I should know how to do this. So I signed up for an improv class at Second City. And that was purely to give myself some practice and some training on thinking on the spot, reacting on the spot without letting my nerves get the best of me. That training that I took at Second City, it helps me every single day when I put myself out there as a personal brand. When I have conversations like this online with people that I've just met, or I'm going live on my Instagram, you know, that training helped me generate some confidence in myself in being able to perform. And that's kind of how I see it now, especially if you're the type of personality like me where you're not a natural born performer. When it does come to building a personal brand and putting yourself out there, I kind of see it as I'm a characterization of myself. What I put out there is a characterization. It is me, but it's not all of me. It's just certain aspects of me that I pull out that I'm comfortable sharing with online people, strangers, friends. They'll become friends one day. That's how I approach it. So I obviously don't share every aspect of my life, but I share aspects of my life online that I know will resonate and talk to that person that I'm trying to find online. Because I don't need everyone on the internet to care about what I have to say. I'm just trying to reach people who want this life for themselves, and I share my story with them. So I guess that's kind of a twofold answer. The main takeaway is I treat my online persona, my online brand, like a characterization of myself, and that makes it less scary to do and show up and do it every day.
Why did you choose Instagram as the social media platform, and how can other entrepreneurs use it to build their businesses?
I think it really chose me just based on my experience. My very first client, e-commerce brand, perfect fit for Instagram being so visual. And then all my clients became e-commerce based, so they all wanted Instagram growth. And it became the focus of my agency very quickly. And so when I wanted more clients, I thought I'll just grow my own personal brand on Instagram. Plus, I always liked it the most personally. I love photography. I love taking a ton of photos when I travel. Like, sharing a photo and a story to go along with it just felt like the easiest platform for me personally. So it was a natural fit in many ways to focus on growing my name on Instagram. And it still is that best natural fit. I still do love it the most, as much as new features have come out. There's a ton of focus on video now with Instagram stories and now IGTV. I've heard Mari Smith say this, but she says Instagram is Facebook's new Facebook. So Facebook, the parent company, is really putting a ton of focus and momentum into Instagram. And I think we can see that. In the last 6 months, there have been so many features that have been rolled out, and a lot of them are to help business owners grow on Instagram. So that's why I still believe in it today. Even though it was the very first platform that I focused on back in 2013, the way it's grown and evolved, and the way it's helped to grow my business, like when I grew my personal brand on Instagram, that's what took my agency from a 5-figure business to a 6-figure business. It was with that greater awareness of people to know who I was. It boosted my revenue at the same time. So I've seen that in my business. I see it in my students' businesses all the time. It is a powerful platform when you invest in it and do it right.
And how do you promote more thoughtful engagement rather than just people liking your posts? How do you encourage people to engage with you?
It almost starts with you. The funny thing about Instagrammers is sometimes they'll say stuff like, I post things and no one comments. I like to flip it around on themselves and say, well, are you commenting on other people's stuff? Are you also giving to other people as well? Because sometimes Instagrammers get this mentality like, I'm doing all this stuff and I'm getting nothing in return. Sometimes you do have to give as well. You know, you need to engage with other people to see the same on your account. So there's that as a factor. The second factor is, it does start with you, in the sense that if you give your people something real, something vulnerable, something they can relate to, you are going to see that come back to you in the form of long, lengthy, well-intentioned comments. You're not just going to get the random emoji, the nice, you know, the random nice post. The people who really care about what you have to say, they are going to come out of the woodwork and they're going to DM you. They're going to leave that meaningful comment because you put that out there first. It does start with you in sharing something that means something to your followers and is a true, honest, vulnerable part of yourself as well.
We're Amy and Nancy Harrington, and you're listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Elise Dharma. Find out more about her courses and one-on-one coaching and living a life as a travelpreneur at elisedharma.com. Now here's more of our conversation with Elise. Let's talk a little bit about the concept of being location independent. What does that mean and how do you do it?
My definition of being location independent is that you have a business that you can run from anywhere you'd like. It's not dependent on a location. So that could be Bali or it could be your couch. So that was my first goal when it came to creating more freedom in my life. I wanted that freedom to work from wherever. And so for most people, that means having a business or having a job that they can solely do online. That's the key. Hence why online business is such a hot topic these days. So to achieve that for yourself, there's a couple ways that you can do it. I have a program that helps people take their current skills, so skills that they learned in school, they do every day in their day job, and translate those skills into an online business. Now, in my perspective, the fastest way to generate an online business or a full-time income is through offering services to clients. So I help my students basically take the skills they already have, whether it's project management, or they were an admin at an office, or they were doing social media management for a company, or they were a writer for a newspaper. It's really taking those skills and figuring out how we can translate them to the online world and then helping them launch a service-based business where they're going to do work for clients. That, in a nutshell, is how I help people. Now, the flip side is if you feel like your day job skills, the skills that you currently have, don't translate into the online world, the good news is there are plenty of options to learn online skills that you can translate. So for example, I teach Instagram marketing in another course, InstaGrowth Boss, and I've had some students take that course, learn Instagram marketing just like I did, just like what I do for my agency, and then launch their own service-based business only offering Instagram marketing services to their clients. And this one student in particular, she quit her job of 20 years to run an agency where she offers Instagram marketing for realtors in Chicago. Super specific, super niche, but that's also part of her success too. So it is totally possible, no matter what age, no matter where you are at in life, to take your current skill or learn a new skill and use that to launch a service-based business.
Given the variety of places you are and things that you're doing, do you have a typical day?
When it comes to my travel schedule, I know my Instagram makes it look like I'm traveling 24/7. That would be exhausting. I'm not the type of person who could live out of a suitcase happily forever. So what I end up doing is when I look at my calendar, I actually end up traveling for about 100 days of each year. So almost a third of every year I'm abroad and I'm working remotely. So that's how it works for me, and that's the best balance. Some people can be a full-time digital nomad where they are living out of a suitcase, and I find for them to be successful, they will choose a location and stay there for a good couple months, like 3 to 4 months. And I'd recommend that too. Like if I were to be fully on the road, I would go to Bali and get a place for 3-4 months, because for me to be productive, I have to be heads down and focused. And when you're traveling, sometimes that's tough because you're in a beautiful location and you want to go see the sights. So when I'm traveling, my productivity is probably at 50% of what it normally would be. I usually like to get up with the sun, which is earlier than my normal wake-up call. I'll work a couple hours, I'll have breakfast, I'll work a couple more till noon, and then I'll go out for the day. Noon till 5, noon till 6, I'll go out and do something, come back, have dinner. If I need to do more work, I'll do it at night. That's usually my schedule when I'm working remotely. When I'm in my home base, which is Toronto right now, I have a pretty packed day. You know, I'm not someone who's got a business where I only work 2 hours a day. I work full-time hours. I have 5 contractors that I work with. So my day is spent talking to clients, talking to contractors, managing the projects that they're working on, and then also a lot of content creation. I create a lot when it comes to blogs, videos, my Instagram stories, my Instagram feed. So for that, I need to get in the writing mode, the writing zone, which is usually my mornings. So that's usually how my day goes. Mornings to lunch are writing and content creation. Afternoons are calls with clients, calls with contractors, and then doing lighter tasks that don't take as much brain power.
Seems like you have an endless amount of energy, but what do you do on those days when you're unmotivated?
I sometimes just give myself a break. There are the moments where you're feeling low energy or down or overwhelmed. And usually when I'm feeling unmotivated, it's because I don't have a plan in place or I'm unclear of the bigger picture. And that's one of my weaknesses, I would say. I'm more of a task-oriented person. Like if I know I need to get something done in a week's time, I can work backwards and get all those tasks done. But I'm not that visionary type of personality where it's like, oh, in 3 years, this is what the business is going to look like. That's why I hire business coaches to help me figure that stuff out, because that's where I need help. So that's the balance that I've found for myself. So the moments when I am feeling unmotivated, I know that it means I need to check in with the greater purpose of why I'm doing this. What is the big picture here? Because if I'm not feeling motivated, it means I'm not sure and I'm not clear what the point is. I usually give myself a break and then it's like a wake-up call. I got to figure this out. Otherwise, what's the point? I'm not going to get this done.
Do you have a mantra that you live by?
I don't know if I have a mantra that I live by. I definitely have some mental games that I play with myself when it comes to keeping myself positive. My nature can be a little bit more like, oh, I need to go into survival mode, whether that's fear of there not being enough or fear of money not being enough. That's kind of my instinct, is to be afraid that there isn't enough, whether it's people that will want my stuff or success to go around. So I do kind of have some mental, I guess they're mantras that I repeat when I'm feeling afraid of there just not being enough. And one mantra that has stuck with me that I learned from Denise Duffield Thomas's book, Get Rich, Lucky Bitch, I believe it's called. She's all about money mindset. And one thing about being in business and also stepping into the position of being a CEO with more contractors and being incorporated and paying taxes, it made me have to really get comfortable with my numbers. And one thing I realized was that I was a little bit afraid of money, and I was afraid of making it. I was afraid of selling it. I was afraid of losing it. And so one of the mantras that I read in her book was, money loves me and takes care of me. So that's the one that's written out on my computer screen. It's the one that sticks in my head. There's a handful that I have, but that's the one that I actually remember. And so if ever there's moments where I'm like, oh, I'm stressed about the expenses this month, or I'm stressed about this launch or whatever, that's the one thing that I'll remind myself, just to keep that positive association with money versus being afraid of it in any sort of way.
What's been your biggest professional challenge so far, and how did you overcome it?
One of the biggest challenges was actually coming out as a personal name, a personal brand. I didn't think that would be so hard, but there's a lot of fear of putting yourself out there. And the funny thing is you fear trolls and comments from strangers on the internet, but sometimes the things that hurt the most come from your own network, your own family and your friends. And that was really challenging to go through in the first year of having a personal brand. And by that, I mean when I really started to focus on my Instagram account and really craft, like, what is the message that I want to put out there? And I would say most people were supportive, but, you know, sometimes there were odd reactions from friends, and that would hurt me the most. It wasn't someone commenting on my Instagram saying, well, I think you look really stupid. That was the very first negative comment I got, and it just made me laugh because it was so ridiculous. But the comments, and sometimes they're underhanded comments, sometimes they sound like they mean well, but the sense you get is like, there's something going on here. That was challenging. It was really, really hurtful at times. And it took some time to work through that and to understand that that reaction they're having is more about them than me. And if I need to take care of myself right now, which I do, I might need to distance myself from this person a little bit just so I can keep myself in a good space, because I'm on a trajectory right now and I need to keep taking those steps, even though I'm scared, into this new world that I'm entering, which is, you know, putting myself out there in a totally different way. So that was a challenge, and it did affect and change my personal life. Even though from the outside, everyone's like, oh, your business is going so great. Yes, your business can go so great, but sometimes you might feel lonely. Sometimes you might feel like, where are the real life people in your corner? And it's really important to have those real life people in your corner to support you when there are really challenging times, because there will be. There have been. And my boyfriend and my closest friends and my family have always been there for me. And that's really helped the most.
Were there lessons that your mom taught you about women's roles in society, either that you have taken with you or that you've turned against?
I come from a family of strong women, which is kind of funny because the religion I was raised in is so patriarchal. It's so based on the men having the spiritual power and that the women are caretakers and they stay at home and they raise children. So I was lucky in that I do come from a family of very strong women, my mom and my grandma included, and strong businesswomen. My grandma is to this day in her early 70s running an international company. She runs a pole company that's based in Canada. And I was lucky enough to be raised with her presence in our house. I grew up in Vancouver. So she would fly to Vancouver every single week and stay with us Monday to Thursday. And I was the only girl growing up. So she and I got to share a room. And spending that much time with her, I always just saw her as this powerful female boss. And my mom, very similar. She started her own business as a piano teacher to stay at home while she was raising us, and then soon started working at an airline so that we could travel as a family. We're a family of six, so not cheap to travel. We would travel to Australia to visit my dad's family because that's where they all were. And then eventually she got into real estate in BC, which is a great industry to be in considering the real estate situation there right now. But now she is just a manager for a project developer, and she'll sell project homes and does an amazing job at that and owns multiple properties herself. So yeah, I had two really good examples of women who weren't expecting their husband or anyone else to take care of everything they wanted, and they always had entrepreneurial ambitions and they went for it, and they've both done it.
What's your definition of success?
The simplest term of that would be achieving my form of freedom. So at first, my definition of success was location independence. I didn't want to be stuck in an office. I wanted to work from wherever. And it's funny, when you achieve your definition of success, it suddenly changes. You suddenly look to, well, what's next? And I think that's just the nature of being a human being. And so after I achieved location independence, the next definition of freedom for me became, well, what about financial freedom? You know, it's great to work from wherever, but what about a business that, you know, I'm not going to have to worry about so much? I'm not going to have to be in the business every single day, turning all the cranks to keep it going. How do I create more freedom for myself in the financial health of my business and in the time that I'm spending in it? So that's kind of where I'm at right now, is my level of freedom, my level of success would be a business that I don't need to be in every single day. I don't need to worry about the profit margins and paying my team. You know, I have systems in place. I have really good people in place who believe in the mission of what we're aiming to achieve just as much as me, just as much as if they had founded the business. And that's where I'm heading. That's where I'm aiming to go in the next year with my business.
Is there a lesson you've learned in your work that sticks with you?
I think the main lesson is take that next step, even if you're afraid. That has been my journey since I started. You know, the very first time I got a client, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know anything about contracts or getting paid or doing social media marketing for a client, but I knew that I could figure it out. So I took that next step, even though I was afraid. The same thing happened when I hired my very first business coach, which turned out to be a huge catalyst for my business. The very same thing, you know, happened when I posted something very vulnerable on Instagram. I posted about my own fears and insecurities, something that I wouldn't normally share online. But when I posted it, it was amazing how many people messaged me and were thankful for someone to step up and share this, especially in a world like Instagram where so much is about perfect life. Everything's perfect. And we all know that's not the case. So yeah, taking the next step, even though you're scared, that's pretty much how I've grown my business. And even when I work with one-on-one coaching clients, you know, I understand that fear of you just have no idea what's next, but you do have to keep inching forward and know that no matter what step you're taking, no matter what decision you're making today, it's not the path that your business is going to be on for the rest of your life. You take that step, you see how it is, and you evolve, you pivot if you need to. But the important thing is taking that step.
Thanks for listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Elise Dharma. Find out more about her courses, one-on-one coaching, and living life as a travelpreneur at elisedharma.com. And be sure to subscribe to the Passionistas Project podcast so you don't miss any of our upcoming inspiring guests.